The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
So I take the opportunity to welcome on the program with me this morning. Is it Kezia?
Hi, yes, you did get it right.
Kezia Lindor. Good morning. Very bright this morning.
Good morning. Thanks. Yeah, it's a great day.
Yeah, yeah. I saying big up to COVID-19 because we have Zoom.
Listen.
Otherwise, you would have to be right in the studio here with me having a discussion.
I know.
I see how bright it is now. Having to brave the traffic to get here. Anyway.
I know. I'm so sorry I couldn't be there in person this morning, but I will make well on, you know, that in the future.
Indeed. So and I will hold you to that.
I owe you guys. Yes, I owe you guys an in-studio.
All right. So let me just give people a little idea as to who we are chatting with this morning very quickly. We're in a segment called Our Country, Our Culture. And the topic this morning will be from fashion to film with Kezia Lindor, a fashion director, fashion stylist, and freelance writer. Of course, classed as a bona fide island girl, is it? Kezia Lindor is a Trinidad-born fashion stylist and writer who is gracefully building into a self-made entrepreneur and filmmaker. Interesting. She is the lead wardrobe stylist and creative director at Kez Styles, a self-founded fashion company, and has recently begun her debut in film. Her introduction into the film world through fashion paved the way for her dynamism as Kez has been featured in some of the world's most sought-after publications for her style and fashion, such as British Vogue, Big Up You, and more. She currently styles international Caribbean acts such as Marshall Montano, Deshra Garcia, Nadia Batson, and does wardrobe for TV commercials and film productions. Kez is also a writer, which made this unusual but still so fitting entrance into the film world. As a writer, director, producer, almost inevitable. Girl,
yeah.
Big you up. Big you up. Trust me. I want to know, you know, I mean, what sparked your interest when you entered the world of fashion to begin with? Let's start with that.
Well, it's a funny story because when I went to university, I did not go to school to study fashion initially. Could you guess what I went to university to study?
Well, girl, I and you in the same boat, you know. I didn't study radio. I didn't do public relations. No. I mean, I have...
I went to university and I studied political science.
Well, look at that.
Relations.
I didn't even do business studies. I think I did physics, maths, English, mechanical engineering, something else. And then on an A-level basis, it was like sociology, economics, and American history. Yeah. Now, what the hell
so,
I going?
You know? Yeah, my introduction into university, I would say is where it started because I went in there. I got my degree in political sciences with a major as well in international relations. And basically, from there, while I was in university, of course, I always loved fashion. I was very heavily into sports as well. And I just found myself being interested in the fashion shows. So I would either model for the fashion shows, be one of the persons managing the fashion shows or putting on the fashion shows or hosting the fashion shows. And then from there, I started to... Yes, that's me.
Paps. Okay.
Yeah. So from there, I knew I always had a passion for fashion outside of school. And it's something that, you know, I was always so happy to do. I was so happy to always dress my friends when they were going parties and stuff like that. So when I finished my degree in school for political sciences with international relations, I ended up taking up an internship with a magazine initially down here in Trini. And I was just like, you know what, let me kind of fuel this and see where it goes. During that time, I would have started what is called a fashion blog. My godfather, who is one of my biggest cheerleaders, he owns the company Design by Spirit. His name is Christophe Pierre. He would have helped me start this little blog that I had. It was a website. It was really nice. And that's where I started to kind of journal my life in fashion. Started to write and document little things that I would see going on in the international world of fashion at the time. So every runway show, every style that I liked, I would, you know, be posting about it, and people started to gravitate towards the blog initially. And at that time, I would do little styling people and, you know, putting together a lot of different articles. I worked for a couple publications abroad. And from there, I said, you know what? I really like this. This is what I want to do. You know, I like how it makes me feel. I like how it makes people feel when I dress them and they look good. And I decided to go away and to fuel that because I do have relatives all over. I said, let me see if I could absorb as much as I could about this fashion industry. So I went and I did a couple internships and stuff. I learned a lot. A lot. Came back to Trinidad, opened my business. I registered my business, Kez Styles, and I started to do styling, creative direction, production management to a certain degree as well under Kez Styles.
All right, let's go ahead.
So when I got into film was only recently. It was only in the last 2 years.
But back it up a little bit before we talk about the film aspect of things. Let's talk about the whole styling. Is it that you own a clothing store? Because persons listening, I'm a stylist, but they don't truly understand.
No, it's not that I own a clothing store, and I'm glad that you asked that question because I think a lot of people all the time need clarification as to what a stylist is.
Mm-hmm.
A stylist is someone who curates or advises someone on what to wear, how to wear it, what is the best look or piece of clothing to wear for a particular event, for a particular occasion. So if I were to give an example, so let's talk about the celebrity world internationally, right?
Mm-hmm.
When these celebrities go to red carpet shows, they have Oscar awards, they have music awards and all these different things, and they show up on a red carpet in designer wear. They have not gone to a store and bought these things. They have someone who they hire who is called a stylist,
mm-hmm.
who goes and gets these looks for them, finds looks that go with the theme of whatever the event is for them, and then dresses them for that particular event. So when you see a celebrity probably on a red carpet in a Gucci from Versace or Gucci or a Chanel look, right? They have not bought that look. Their stylist is someone who has created relationships with clothing stores, designers, and through those relationships are able to have these pieces loaned to them. And they borrow these pieces to dress this person to have them look great. Another thing that a stylist does is if you're someone who you feel like, okay, I do not have a sense of style. I do not dress myself well. It's obvious. My friends have told me that I need an image consultant because I don't know how to wear my clothes. A stylist also acts in the capacity of an image consultant.
Pause right there.
How to dress. Yeah.
I want to come back to that, right? But I had to take a commercial break. I had to get these bills out because it's a lot. So I have to split it in two. So give me a little bit, all right? Give me about 3 minutes or so, and I'll be touching back with you shortly. Stay right there. You can just mute, and let me just pay these bills and come back. 33 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, we're heading towards the 8 o'clock hour. Of course, if you're stuck in traffic, you're on to the Morning Rumble with Davey here, locking it in for Satish. I'm not sure. Hopefully, you'll be feeling better soon and I'll be back on the afternoon drive. But for now, we're here. Stick and stay. We continue after this.
Shake up your morning with the Morning Rumble on Talk Radio Freedom 106.5. Engage with Davey on the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Once again, good morning, Trinidad and Tobago. Welcome back to Freedom 106.5 FM, 21 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. And we are chatting with Kezia, the lovely Kezia Lendon. Is it Lendor? Lendor. I didn't christen the woman, so I don't know. All right. So we're talking fashion, we're talking stylist here. We're talking about, you know, what is a stylist. So you mentioned the Oscars, the Grammys, and so forth.
Yes. And also, just like in TV commercials, I've actually done a few TV commercials as well.
We talked about that just now, yeah.
Flo, Republic Bank, a lot of TV commercials that we would have seen in the past and also in the future.
To come.
Yes, on our own TV channels and stations. Basically, I would facilitate in, you know, TV commercials. Let's talk about TV commercials. When you look at a TV commercial, let's say Republic Bank or any, you know, TV commercial you see out there that is supposed to be representative of us locally, people are dressed. People have on clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not coming and just showing up to set with clothes on. There is somebody who is in charge of either getting the required clothing or specific clothing that goes with the theme of what the TV commercial is about. If, let's say, it's a family at home just enjoying a show and they're showing that on the television, I need to make this family or the people that they have hired to look like a family, look as casual and as cozy and as comfortable as possible, as if they are home, and make it look as natural as possible based on the clothes that they are wearing. That is also something that a stylist does. So when you see TV commercials out there, people aren't coming to a set dressed up to act for a TV commercial. There is someone on set who is called a stylist as well, who has to supervise, who has to tell them, okay, this is what you're going to wear, this is what we would like you to wear, this is what the director likes, based on their own conversations with the director to get a feel of what is the mood and the tone of that particular TV commercial. And it's the same thing with film, just that in the film world, a wardrobe stylist acts in the capacity of what we call a costume designer, because a lot of the clothing that you use on film has to be made based on what the film is about. It could be a film that was set in a particular era. So, you know, the film, the wardrobe for that film has to reflect that particular era, whether it be the 1970s or the 1950s. So being a stylist is not something where, you know how to dress yourself and you know how to dress other people and make them look good. But it is someone who does a lot of dressing, who does a lot of finding the right type of clothes for you that suits your body type, that suits the particular project, that suits the theme. So that is what a stylist is. A lot of the time, stylists get, people get confused with being someone being a stylist and someone being a designer. A designer is a whole different ballgame. A designer is somebody who actually designs clothes and makes clothes a particular way based on the aesthetic of their brand. So if somebody likes designing and making menswear and they name their brand Zen or something like that, that is a designer brand. That is a designer. The person who is in charge or who created Zen and whose pieces those are called Zen. What I would do is probably based on if I have a male client, I might be like, okay, Zen's designs look like the best type of designs for my client to be wearing. So therefore, as a stylist, I would reach out to Zen, the brand, and say, hey, I'm interested in either pulling pieces from you or having a custom piece made for my particular client, because the way that you make your clothes or the designs of your clothes is very appealing to me and my client, and I think it's the best look for him for a particular event or a particular occasion. That's how it works. I don't know if that clarifies.
It does. I think I get robbed because I was called a couple times as talent for commercial and I had to walk with my own suits, you know.
Right.
I walk on set with my own suits. I am familiar. I remember my first television show I did in Trinidad was a show entitled Jobs, J-O-B-S, Just Occupations Beyond Scope, right here on CNC3. It was a show designed behind the scenes. And you know, your clothing, nothing is more unforgiving to show up on a weekly show with the same clothes you wear 2 weeks ago. People have a tendency to remember. Wait, no, I know the same shirt you wear.
You based on the experience and the maturity of the stylist and the how long the stylist has been in the industry, there are occasions where a stylist would ask you to bring your clothes on set, maybe for a TV commercial. If it's like a home scene, they want you to look as homey as possible. So they might be like, you know what, let's use something from your wardrobe.
Yeah, they make me walk with my suit.
That's on you. However, in a situation where it's a film or you're a host of a show and they're facilitating a stylist for you to help dress you or curate your style, that's a different story. They could look into collaborating with a couple designers to dress you so that you don't always use your clothes. I don't believe that you should use your clothes all the time, because you'd be surprised how many people don't, and not for any particular reason, don't have a lot of clothes in their wardrobe. They just have a couple standard things that they just use and rotate all the time. So I think, like, you know, it's important for there to be options on set when it comes to things like that.
No, you make sense. You make sense, because one of the things I did with that show, people need to understand, is that what about these? You talk about loaning clothing. If the clothes is being borrowed, what happens after that?
Well, it's a process. So this is all based on your relationships, I guess, again. You know, it's called, in our world, it's called wardrobe pulling. So you're pulling wardrobe from a couple designers for your client, and you work out with that designer what the exchange will be. Now, the exchange could be a couple things. It could be money. It could be credits, or photos with the particular client. If it's a public figure, it could be a condition that, okay, these are dry cleaned, pressed, and brought back to me in mint condition. So that's how the process works in terms of stylists pulling from designers or even retail stores.
So when you pull from the designer or retail store and it's for a wardrobe for a particular set or whatever, you return the clothing, but the store gets mentioned. They get credit for it.
But some designers are really more interested in having particular people be seen in their brand. So if it is they carry suits and this public figure wears their suits, they're good with that, you know. So they want the pleasure of seeing so and so is decked out in
but do they keep the clothing? Because I'll share a story with you.
Keep the clothing, the client or the designer?
The client.
It depends. Sometimes a designer is so honored by the opportunity to dress a particular person.
They give them the allow them
to keep it. Yeah, they allow them to keep it. On other occasions, yes, you do. Most occasions, you do have to return them. But there are a few occasions where I have dressed particular people and the clients was very happy to dress them. I mean, the designers were very happy to dress them and wanted to gift. In that case, you call it gifting. Gift them the outfit.
When I got into the same notion of film and producing and stuff like that, when I created jobs, you get a chance, you can go up on YouTube, just put in job CNC3 and you'll see like the 38 second trailer that we had when we launched back in 2011. But the thing about it is, I remember negotiating with a particular retail clothing company in Trinidad, and I was asking for sponsorship because it was myself and a co-host, and we needed clothing. So the sponsorship was coming in one of the two ways. You either clothe me, outfit us for the entire season, or you provide me money, funding, so you pay for your advertising, and mind you, I had to take the same money and buy clothing.
Right, so, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So it was said to me at that meeting, I want my ad play, and I want recognition that it's my clothes you're wearing on the set, right? Yeah. And when you finish, you know, you'll launder it. If it's soiled really bad, then you'll have to pay for it. And I said to the man, I said, so when I put out your ad out there, and everybody know I wearing Kez style, just saying, using you for example, everybody know I wearing Kez. There's Kez clothing here. Thank you very much, Kez. It came up there. Wardrobe by Kez Clothing. Your ad play and all of that. And then I gave back the clothes. That's like going in by a store, buy the pants of the mannequin, and then wear it and give back the store the pants, and then give back my money. How are you going to make the viewers unsee the ad and know it's you and come by you and shop? Where's my benefit?
No. But I don't think that's the best way to look at it, because it's not that you're buying it and then you're returning and not getting back your money. This was a particular understanding that before this designer came into the mix, or before you had an agreement with this person, you didn't have wardrobe for this particular show, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't have wardrobe for this particular show. So it is a situation where they are making sure you look presentable or look a particular way for this particular show. In itself, that is them already providing you a particular service. They are dressing you, they are making sure that you look on point, you look stylish or whatever for the particular show that you are doing. That in itself alone is already a service that they are providing for you. And if they did not charge you for it, you know, there's a cost that is potentially attached to that. So it shouldn't be that it's come like I buy in the clothes and then wearing it and then returning it and not getting back my money, because they are giving you something with the hopes of something in return. Now, I think in terms of ethics, right? If someone is lending you something and you have to return it to them, and you have, let's say, smelly armpits and you sweat it up and stuff like that, are you going to return it to that person with the sweaty armpits? You might want to give it a wash naturally before you return it. You will want to return it clean because that's how they gave it to you.
Well said.
So I think ethical standpoint, it is only right that if you are given something a particular way, you return it.
Well said. Yeah. I can't disagree.
Yeah.
And I just had to break down the science of it, you know, because I always think about the man in the taxi.
Boils down on both ends to just consideration. I am facilitating you this in this particular way. Just facilitate me this particular way. I'm giving it to you like this. I just expect it back like this.
We'll continue our discussion because we had to talk about things in film and the sweaty armpits. And if you learn an art, if I outfit an artist to go and perform on the soca monarch, when you're done, what's going on with my clothes and how to bring it back? You know what I mean? I expecting it to come back with some sweat, you know? So we take a quick break.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Once again, good morning, Trinidad and Tobago. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. If you're still stuck in traffic on your way to work for that 8 a.m. start, well, you're late. Yeah, you're late. If you're by the Beetham Estate right now coming down and you're in a little traffic, you're going to get some traffic all the way to Port of Spain by the lighthouse. The usual conundrum that we face on a day-to-day basis. And now today's Friday and a month-end Friday at that. Could it be considered month-end? The 22nd? You get paid?
No.
Me get on, you know. Working for thank you, man. What is this? Anyway, we chat with Kessie Lindor. Good to see you smiling, man. You know, I'd ask you a question. Somebody, you know, message, man. Say, you know, long I ask this kind of question. So I'd ask you this question. It's usually a baptism question we used to ask guests back in the early. Now. So I'm going to ask you a real simple question, you know. You ever had bread and condensed milk?
I have. I have. My grandma gave me a couple of times when I was younger, and I loved it. So I have been a bread and condensed milk baby. I have.
Wow. I have never had that. I just think that's gross and weird and no.
Well, I mean, I guess I could see how, but also not so much. I mean, it's bread and just like, you know, some sweetener, because I mean, we put so much sweet stuff on bread, right? We put jam on bread, peanut butter on bread, condensed milk on bread.
Yeah, never had it. All right, I just had to ask. So right now my texts are laughing at me here and saying, you see, she's a real trainee. Just wanted to verify, you know, because apparently they went Googling you. So they figure out who you are now. Yeah, she's a trainee. They say she don't look trainee though, but she's a trainee. Yeah.
I mean, I call time that I don't look like I'm from here, but I'm a trainee to the bone. I'm very humble.
A very humble one. You know, we have a representative going up for that competition, Miss Something International, boy.
Right.
From that neighboring country now.
Yeah.
Living, yeah, boy. She's living in Trinidad, she's saying, between 6 and 9 years now. But she's right. She says she's equipped. But anyway, that's a conversation for next time. You know. So Kezia Lindor is really a full trainee, right? She had bread and condensed milk. I never had it. That doesn't make me any less a trainee. And I don't think I'll ever eat it.
Best friend Celine just messaged me because she's listening in. Shout out to you, Celine. Good morning. I love you. And she said, I love bread and condensed milk too. So you see,
Celine, you have to try. Celine, top of the morning. Top of the morning. Gil, let me tell you and Celine something. I better than all you try. Every Tuesday on my show in the afternoon, I do a show called Tasty Tuesdays with a chef, my good friend Sean, Chef Sean Spencer. And it's been a minute now since we've been doing that show together, and he's yet to get me to eat bread and condensed milk. He tried. Dine up, man.
You have to try it, honestly. You really have to try it. At least once in your life. Just a little bit. You know, break the bread somewhere.
And see
I promise you, you will be very pleasantly surprised. It's almost like having, you know, jam and peanut butter on your bread.
All right. All right. I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it. And Celine, is Celine is her name?
Yes.
Good morning to Celine, wherever you are. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom 106.5. She's where?
I said, hope she has a great day.
Yes, sir. We wish Celine and others like her listening a very, very productive day as well. I know the weather conditions outside, I understand. It's a little, you know, gloomy. Welcome weather, though. I don't like rain that much. I prefer the hot sun, but...
Actually, I just recently got back in the country, and I heard we were having quite the heat going on.
What you going to say about me? Gil, I was in Jamaica, and then I had to head over to Miami. I only came back a few days ago myself, and while I was out there, I was seeing the heat wave, and I was like, brr. Because while in Jamaica, I learned to appreciate Trinidad's sun. You know? So, and then I went over to Miami, and the time I reached back in Trinidad, I'm like, way, boy. That is what he was feeling, you know, like a boiler egg on the pavement, you know. But anyway, we're glad for the rain. So as we continue our dialogue this morning, we're dealing with your transition from fashion to film. How has that been for you?
Great. It's not, I wouldn't call it more, a transition. I would call it more so...
A merger.
You know, fusion of both styling, because I am still a stylist. It's my main thing still, but... I was of the last 2 years very eager to produce shows. I don't know why, but I got that bug, and obviously along the lines of fashion. But one of the things that I always felt, I wouldn't say guilty about in my career, but I felt that I really always wanted to do was to help people beyond just who pay for my services. You know, I always tell people having a stylist is in fact a luxury, you know.
I was getting there. I was going down that road there, because somebody now messaged me and says, who pays somebody to tell me what clothes to wear? So clearly, yeah, I understand. It's a luxurious item.
Yes, it is. Styling or having a stylist is a luxury service. I've styled people for weddings. I styled Marshall Montano for his wedding at the Red House. People, and I've styled many other people for weddings before that. And they've paid me to figure out what type of wedding dress that they should wear and all of that. Because some people just don't want the hassle. Some people don't like shopping. Some people don't like having to go and figure out or buy certain styles of clothes for themselves. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if they could pay someone with a keen sense of style, a great sense of style, who could do it for them, mm-hmm. they will.
Are you?
And that's where I come in. You know, and this is probably a lesson for so many people. Don't ever think that there is, you know, there's always something that someone needs. From a career perspective, don't mm-hmm. think that what you do or what you want to do could never be a career, because there's somebody out there that has
what you're offering in demand.
Yeah, of course. And once you're really good at it, you know, the clientele will build up over time, which has been the case for me. And I mean, between public figures, personal clients, TV commercial gigs, and now entering into film in my own way, you know, you'll get there and you'll be really contented with, you know, choosing what you are passionate about, and you work better that way because it doesn't feel like a job. When I decided to get into film is really interesting. It really was not necessarily at the time for me, but for everyone else. So again, coming back to us talking about styling being a luxury, not everyone is in a place where they could just be like, oh, let me pay and get a stylist to help me, you know, put my outfits together or give me tips on how to wear my clothes, right? And I was like, okay, what avenue can I use to reach people who may not necessarily be able to afford a stylist in a particular capacity, but who would benefit from and appreciate just, you know, some tips and tricks on how they could use their own wardrobe that they have right in front of them to look as presentable and, you know, look their best selves every day. And I came up with this idea to do this series called the Kestyle Series, which I hosted, produced, and I was in it. It was my first time doing something like that, but I took the plunge and I did it. And it was basically a series where I give people tips and tricks on how to elevate their everyday wardrobe. So, you know, a lot of the times we look at ourselves or we look at our wardrobe and we would see something that has so many possibilities, but we only would know what the possibilities are if someone tells us or shows us how we could use it, right? So for instance, just a basic tee, a basic jersey. Mm-hmm. Someone might look in the wardrobe and say, but I have nothing to wear for this particular function or this particular occasion, not knowing that you could dress up that basic tee, like for a woman with like a ball skirt. If it's a formal function, you wear a ball skirt, you have on this basic tee, but then you roll up the sleeves a little bit, you put on a big statement necklace and a beautiful earring, and you are the belle of the ball. You walk in there with this simplistic article of clothing that has been the basic or the foundation of this new elevated style. And they would look at you and say, wow, this person has a really great sense of style. Simply because you found a way to make something very basic look very beautiful.
So here,
and I think all of us have that potential in our wardrobes.
So, right.
We just have to see it.
So let's talk about employment. Let's talk about employing you for a moment, coming in as a clothing stylist for a particular client. We're not talking about the celebrity clients here at the moment. I don't want to deal with the rich and famous. Let's talk to the average Joe.
Yes,
that, you know, want to call Kezia and say, I want to, you know, talk to Kez Styles. Now,
yes.
The average salary, as you're well aware in Trinidad, you're from Trinidad, so you know what public service work for. It's a few jobs that are available out there for employees that carrying a salary of 15 and 18,000 a month. Basically, right. Everybody working anywhere in the vicinity of 8 to 10 grand, some even less. But they're asking for your services. How flexible are you with your pricing? And do you come into someone's home? And
initially, so what happens is that I try my best to be flexible with my pricing to a certain point, just because it depends on the service. So I offer many different types of styling services. So we spoke about some that I offer. One that we slightly touched on was image consultancy.
Well, I realized that, eh? Uh-huh.
Which is the first step for any of my clients who are coming in, who, you know, may not be a celebrity per se, but someone who just generally, they want to look presentable, they want to look good, and they want to know, okay, where do I start? Where do I go from here? I do image consultancy with them. I usually meet up somewhere that is comfortable for them or convenient with them. So, you know, an office space, and have them meet with me. We have a meeting where we initially talk about, okay, what is wrong, you know, because you would be surprised how much times in image consultancies there are so many different aspects of a person's life that matters. The fact that they might be insecure about certain physical features, And they might want to either disguise that, even though my thing is don't disguise it, you know, see the beauty in all of your, or what you've identified as your flaws, right? So an image consultancy is the first step with me. And that is extremely, I try to make all my image consultancies very, very reasonable. It's a per-hour rate. Just because, you know, sometimes, and all the time actually for me, it's important to start there so that I also get a sense of who you are, where you're trying to go with your style, or what you need my help in, or what do you need me to facilitate for you. Mm-hmm. From there, once I have a keen idea of, okay, what this person's needs are, then we work out something based on your budget. Because when you're dealing with people, you know, an everyday or regular person who just wants to, you know, curate their style a bit better, I usually tell people, okay, let's try to work up a budget. Obviously, there are rates that I will not go low, a particular line to. There's a standard starting rate that I have, but I do believe, as far as everyone else has told me, it's fairly reasonable for, you know, someone who is a celebrity to tap in. And I am someone who works a budget out for you. I usually work out how we're going to do this. I have in the recent 2 to 3 years started what is like a payment plan as well too. So, okay, if it is I'm working with you on rotation over a particular period of time, we could do something monthly. So like, you know, because just like how you have your other little monthly things that you indulge in, this could be a part of it, because like I say, it is a luxury service. So it's something you could indulge in. And every month, if you need me to do something like, let's say a bit of personal shopping for you, you could say, okay, because I want to allocate this amount of money to personal shopping. You pay my service charge fee. I do that for you and deliver a particular quota to you every month. But I tend to be extremely flexible in the way that I treat with all my clients, and I try to be as considerate as possible to what their pockets can endure. Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. And try to just give everybody, I mean, again, as I said, I come from humble beginnings, so I very much know about getting a bang for your buck. So I think one of the fears people usually have when they think, oh, wardrobe stylist and stuff like that, is that I could never afford them. And all I'm saying is do the first steps and let's have a consultation and then determine, you know, based on what I tell you in there, if you could move forward. And chances are you probably can, you know?
Yeah, because when I think about it, I mean, the image consultancy, while it may come across as a luxury, in some jobs that you do, it is a necessity. All right. And I'm not talking to the celebrity status of Marsha Lundy, but even persons that do MC work.
Yeah, or exactly. Or are a part of the corporate world.
Yeah.
And have been promoted to a certain space where they have to dress a particular way all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That could be a hassle. It could be a headache to always have to think, okay, what do I wear now? How do I do this? But if you have someone who's kind of holding your hand and walking you every step of the way, it makes it so much easier. And that's what I do. A lot of the times I am like your new friend who holds your hand and walks through this journey with you and says, okay, you know, that you could count on to really get the best pieces for you and have you looking your best self.
So then here's my golden question for you as well. With any industry and with anybody, you would see, like for the music industry, for example, you would have artists complaining that when I go to book my studio time and I book my studio time and I pull in, and I start to put on my track. If somebody from the Marshall camp call and say, hey, I need some time, they know we're coming to bust that track, that particular producer might kick you out to produce, to bring in this and shove you aside or tell you, I can't do it right now. When you check it out, it's because Marshall and the boys rolling in, you know. So my question is this. No disrespect to any producer out there. I mean, I can call names of persons who complained about it, that it has happened to them time and time again, because the producer is anxious to work. Oh gosh, is Marshall calling me to do a piece? So you as a stylist would have you have your regular average Joe as a client. But what if while your time is needed with your average Joe, you get one of these high-ranking calls that come through on your phone where they need you, but you already had a commitment to get this person sorted out? Do you pass them on to a subsidiary in your camp, or do you let the other one know, even though it's a big buck here, I'm already booked here? How, you know, that could be a concern for me.
That's a great question too. So I am really happy that I have been building and evolving my company over the past few years to have a solid team. So I do have assistants, I do have, you know, administrative persons and people, you know, styling assistants that work alongside me, and I try to make them visible when I'm on projects, because in the event that I do have to be physically absent from a project, there's still representation and there's still someone holding it down there. For example, just to show how effective it is, like, I went on vacation earlier this year. I went to Europe and North Africa, and while on vacation, my team was still working in Trinidad and Tobago. So I still had shoots coming up. I still had really big clients who touched base with me, knowing that I was on vacation, but being very confident in my team that was liaising with my team. My team was getting stuff done if they had to go get clothes here to carry to this particular person. And I am always in the loop because I am only a video call like we are having here. Are mm-hmm. we?
Big up COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yes, big up COVID. So I have been present, not physically, but digitally, every step of the way, and I try to be present for all of my clients every step of the way. Even if I'm not there physically, I do have representation. I do have a team that is there, because as a business grows, you have to be able to facilitate the growth of the business, which is what I have been working on and working so diligently at facilitating now that Kez Styles and by extension Kez Studios is growing. So I do have a team. You don't have to worry about not getting the amount of attention. While I might have to prioritize a particular project in terms of my presence, my team or someone will always be working on another project and another, and they're all very efficient, and I'm always kept in the loop, and I'm always present, again, probably virtually like this, with the person, so that they could keep so that they can remain having confidence that, you know, the job is getting done.
One of the things I'm very proud to hear that you said this morning, that you, when you're moving, you move with your team or a representative on your team. So I'm not just seeing Kezia Lendo with me, you know, maybe on the initial, on the inauguration of our meeting, it will be one-on-one. But
alone, most of the times, on set and on any job, like, I have a team with me. I have one of my assistants with me, while another assistant might be in the next place doing her thing. But I like to make sure that, you know, there's visibility of my team and what they look like, so that at any point in time, if I'm not on set, they know, okay, Kez is not here, but I've seen this girl with her or this guy with her on numerous occasions and doing the work efficiently. So, you know, clearly she has trained this person to be able to effectively do the job.
People like to think, because I've been in the industry for a long time. I'm also co-creator and co-founder of a show called Bling My Wedding in Trinidad.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that show as yet.
I had friends on that years ago.
Really? Which one?
Denilson and Siobhan Christopher.
Right.
Very well. I think they didn't win, but they were like...
They auditioned. They came on. Right. So one of the things that we worry about is, you know, there's always a concern if I have an idea or I have something, I want to train nobody because they could take it. Do you ever, as an entrepreneur, worry about your team, you know, because they're getting it from the best? You are putting forward your best image with them that they will want to take on your clients and be independent from collecting a salary from you.
I think it's very, very human to have those thoughts at any given point in time. It doesn't mean that your team, or the people on your team are
not loyal
in that kind of way, but it's a very natural thought to have. I think most people at some point have that thought, you know, what if this person steals all my ideas and go? And I mean, it's happened to me in the past to people who I felt, you know, were close on my team and they've gone off to do their own thing. things like that have happened. But I think, you know, where growth is concerned, I stay tuned into a lot of successful businessmen and women around the world, and they always say, like, these things are inevitable. It's inevitable, because I remember I was once working as an apprentice or as an assistant under someone else because I wanted to learn what they do so that I could be in the position that I am in today. So I am mindful of that, and I am mindful that a lot of people who reach out to me are in that position where they're seeing me as someone who they would like to be like or would like to learn from so that they could learn how to be successful in the field, in this field, the way I have been. And I'm growing to be very okay with that. I think it's part of the circle of life for us. And I'm not the type of person that, you know, feels very envious or threatened a lot of the time, because I do live by the saying, you know, what is for me is for me. So I think the opportunities that are meant to be mine will always be mine. And what are meant for others, it will happen for them, and I'll be happy that they, you know, are getting those opportunities as well. I think, like, as much as I'm on this journey and I want to possibly be, I mean, I have goals of styling Rihanna and Beyonce and all these different people and styling for their projects and stuff someday, and I will get there. But at the same time, I am happy if I can be a teacher to others as well too, because I think, you know, there's no point in just going up and up and up and then not being able to mentor or teach others. So I, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I know a lot of the times my assistants, they're working with me because they're trying to learn, because they love this as well and they want to do the best. And I've had assistants who have moved on to becoming stylists as well abroad. And we still work with each other when, you know, when I need, I have one of my assistants, he's recently become a stylist abroad. And when I need him, he facilitates me. When, you know, he needs me, I try my best to help and give wise counsel to him. So it's a beautiful relationship. And I think we could have more of those things if we try to see it in that particular way. And I'm happy for all of his successes, and he's always very happy for mine and at my beck and call. So, you know, I think, like, there's room in what we do for us to facilitate the growth of others. I think that's one of the, you know, a great leader.
Well said. You know. My final question to you this morning, and it has to do, well, one, I probably might get your call because, you know, they must signature hat. I was in you yesterday.
Different color from your jersey and your jacket, so you had a look on that.
So I was in UE yesterday, and we had this hydrogen symposium, and there was one of the professors that was actually presenting. He walked across to the other auditorium where we were, and he saw the freedom, and he came looking because he was hearing on the radio, and he heard my voice on radio. So he's like, I need to meet this Davey Murray, because he follows my show, Bling My Wedding. He also follows Freedom and whatever. So he said, I need to meet this man. And he came across and he was looking in the auditorium. And guess what gave it away? The hat.
Yeah.
The hat gave it away. He walked up. The hat. It's on television. It's all about. This is a very popular hat. So if I hired to be my consultant, you had a fit in the wardrobe around the hat.
And I'm okay with that, because some clients come with those notes. Some clients come with notes. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they say, listen, work on everything but this has to stay. And your job, part of your job, is to figure out how to make that stay.
I will challenge you. I will call you in because I'm gonna need it. The team could benefit from your expertise and your services, even if it's not full-time but part-time. At least somewhere along the lines, we're gonna have to do business together.
Love. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate you guys hearing from me. And Kez Styles on all social media platforms. YouTube, where you could see my series right now, is on the Kez Styles channel. The Kez Styles, it's called the Kez Styles series, KEZ Styles series. Mm-hmm. Once you go on YouTube, you'll see all the episodes there, and you could learn a few things.
I'm going to check it out when I get home this afternoon. I promise you that. And we go hook up, Kez Styles and Bling My Wedding. We go do our thing. We go work it out.
Everyone who's listening, you guys have a great and blessed morning. and that you guys are safe. We have so much going on in our country that could be so disheartening. So I'm wishing you guys a very safe day.
Thank you very much, Kez. And you too. And Celine, big up your best friend. All right?
Yes. One of my best friends. And also my friends who are going to be doing a shoot today that I will be on. Siobhan and Danielson Christopher, who are also very close to me. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, siblings to me, brothers and sisters. Love you guys. Big up my goddad, my grandmom, my parents, everyone. All the loves of my life. Sarah, I love you. You know, hope everyone is having a blessed morning.
All right. Same to you, baby girl. Take care. Bye-bye.